It's The Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in.
And welcome to The Car Doctor Show. This is Car Doctor Kevin Raywinkle along with Tom Claxton. You have any questions, give us a call or send us a text, 343-0106. Show is brought to you by UJ Chevrolet, Mobile's oldest GM dealer, Alabama Pipe and Supply, and Ed's Seafood
Fantabulous
Shed.
Fantabulous Seafood Shed, and they are back in business. They got busted up pretty good from the high water over there, but thank God they didn't get messed up like Felix's did. Felix's windows and all blew in.
Really?
And it got all into their dining area and all where Ed's stuff. It was just the stairs and all down at the bottom where the water came in there 4 or 5 feet high, and tore up everything that was touching the ground besides those big old telephone poles that they're sitting on.
Right. Yeah, that's I'll tell you what, it's amazing what water will do, in storm surge like that.
Yeah.
That hydraulics is an amazing thing. It'll do all kind of stuff.
You're not going to stop that water.
No.
You know?
No.
They were talking about, the two big old propane tanks that they use over there.
Mm-hmm.
And for the gas and stuff, and it actually, they had them tied down with these mobile home chains and cables.
Right.
And in the ground, well, it ripped those apart. And so I guess the propane tanks are in Stockton somewhere up there in one of those bays. One of the alligators is up there chewing on that propane tank.
Right.
But, and they said, well, we're going to do it. I said, hey, guys, you're not going to, stop this stuff from blowing out when we get that water. It's just unbelievable.
Right.
The pressure that water's got. And I said, so you might as well fix it on a temporary basis so you 1 or 2 feet of water will work.
Right.
But if you get 6 or 8 or 10 feet of water in here, you just hope that the building stays.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And that's the thing with, we've had a house on Dolphin Island.
You guys experienced
ago.
That then, yeah.
Been through it many times, and the big thing was is if as long as you can keep the water below the floorboards of the house,
that's
you're
the main
good.
Thing.
You're
right.
good.
Yeah.
You always have to worry about it washing sand out around the pilings and,
giving
you problems.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
As long as we kept it out of the house, we were good. Yeah.
Well, I encourage that you wouldn't think that you would have that any place else except like this on the Gulf. Mm-hmm. And I realize this is a car show, but I guess we're hurricaning tonight.
Yeah, we've got enough of it. Well.
I had a house or camp or whatever you want to call it up on Pascagoula River back in the 60s and 70s. And when I first bought it, we first got high water, and I had it was like 9 feet on the piling.
Mm-hmm.
And we were 15, 18 feet from the regular normal river level.
Right.
So I didn't get any water up there until it got like 24, 26 feet or some ungodly number like that.
Right.
So I figured, man, we all right. It's only foot and a half underneath the camp. We had high water and all,
Mm-hmm.
So then we was there for about 15 years, 18 years, Kids went up there and raised the kids up there on that river hunting and fishing back there on the lakes. And so every time we got high water, I'd get in a boat and we'd put it in up there and go in and look.
Mm-hmm.
And every time it kept getting a little bit higher. So last time I went back in there, I was about a foot from touching my floors.
Yeah.
And I said, oh, man, I don't want to do that. I'd put carpet on the floors and stuff like that, just make it mm-hmm. real comfortable up there.
Right.
And so then about 6 months later, we had another high water and we'd loaded up the boat. Went buzzing up there, and it lacked about 2 inches touching the floors. I said, I think a for sale sign will be out front here within a matter of 4 or 5 weeks,
Time for someone else to
one. Undoubtedly, vegetation and the trees and stuff like that had been cut back so much that as we kept getting the water and getting water, it wasn't nothing draining off and soaking into any of the land. It was all going into the river.
Right.
And then the Leaf River and the Pascagoula River and all met up there and made that big mm-hmm. river. I'm going like, nah, I'll let somebody else be the proud proprietor of this place.
<That's right>. Yeah.
So,
I understand
but,
that,
you know,
for
and
sure.
it, but then you see that water, man, you're not going to stop that water.
No.
Yeah. It's just not going to stop it. Look at the boats that they had in Balabatri that was actually on trailers, and they were secured, tied down in parking lots. Mm-hmm. And the water got high enough, it come in there, lifted the boats off of the trailers and floated the boats out of there over the top of the fence and back out in the water and sunk them.
Right.
I'm going
right.
like, what? Well,
didn't have to plug in it.
What? So, what's this deal?
Yeah. Say, how'd my boat sink in the parking lot?
Yeah, so, yeah. I imagine. Yeah. But it's unbelievable. Did you guys get any flooded cars or anything? I saw a lot of them on TV.
Well, we had one show up in the body shop that was, I mean, not to be repaired. It's just, you know, a total vehicle got dropped off, basically, that, you know, the Copart or whoever will come pick up, you know, to auction off. But I haven't seen any in the shop yet. I'm a little surprised because I know there's some downtown that got wet.
Well, they do. I saw them on TV downtown. Mm-hmm. And then I know some of them were on the causeway, you know, got flooded out there. And, it's when they start blowing trailers over on the Bayway and blowing tractors and trailers over on the Interstate 10 down, you know, Biloxi and Gulfport, Pascagoula area,
mm-hmm.
You know, that tells me at the height of that, you don't need to be out there with being a big service, a big force in front of that wind because you're fixing to get messed up.
Right. You know, and it's we had some pretty tough winds.
We did.
Yeah, I had roof damage at my house. You know, it's first time I went through. I had a little bit in Katrina, but nothing like what I got right now. But you know, of course, the roof is quite a bit older now than what it was then.
Yeah.
So it doesn't really surprise me. But you know, it was a pretty healthy storm, no doubt. Yeah,
mm-mm-mm.
Especially seeing as we didn't take a direct hit from it.
And that's true. But, you know, they told me that some of the surges of wind that they've got, bursts of wind, whatever they mm-hmm. want to call them, a wind burst, I mean, it was like 70, 80, 90, 100 miles an hour.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, it had something out at Brookley Field. It was 92 miles an hour or something like that. I'm going, mm-hmm. what? You know, come on.
Yeah. I mean, we didn't get power back at work in our body shop and used car side until today, about, I don't know, right before lunchtime.
Say what?
Yep. We were today getting power back there.
Were y'all able to work?
What? Well, we were able, and don't ask me why, but one building gets it from somewhere, and the other building and the body shop gets it from somewhere else. So
really?
They're fed in from the you know, the other way.
Different and, transformers are different,
Yeah, and our main building had power. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we had power next morning. We were good to go. Yeah, come in. Thought we had power on the used car side because there was some parts of the sign was lit up. There was a few lights on. No, we only had partial power.
So, okay. Low voltage. That's when stuff gets burned up.
Yeah. And so far, I think we're okay. But we were having to cram everybody in the main building to work. You know, so
yeah. Well, that's a blessing, yeah.
Hey, we got to do what you got to do.
Yeah.
But
how much time you got there, Mr. Board Operator? A couple of minutes, okay.
Yeah.
I know this is a car show, so we're supposed to, you know, get some calls about people that are having car problems. I swear, mm-hmm. it's really nice to know that nobody has any car problems in the Mobile area. But I'd like to talk about electric vehicles and hybrid vehicles a little bit tonight. If you don't have a problem with that.
I'm good with it.
I've been reading some things on the different types of batteries that we have now. And even General Motors is producing a battery for, you know, one of their new vehicles. And they're going to start bringing that down in where we talked about BMW, I think, in 22. It's going to be all hybrid.
Yeah.
And hybrid means gas and electric, right?
It's going to have some kind of internal combustion motor, whether it be gas or diesel, and an electric motor as well, or electric drive of some sort.
Right.
You know, a true electric, all-electric vehicle uses a external electric motor that you may have one, two, three, four, whatever, depends on how they decide to set it up.
Let me clarify that in my mind. So, in other words, you would have, say, one motor with four drive axles or four drive components on it, or would there be an electric motor on, say, two wheels?
Well,
and then all four wheels?
Well, yeah. I mean, it could be either, you know, because, you know, if you have a four motor set up, you can have a motor on each wheel. You may have three motor set up that has, say, like a motor that drives the two front axle, you know, two front tires, and then two motors, one on each rear wheel, or you could have one motor that just drives the two front axles.
Oh, okay. So, all right. Well, I was wondering, I guess they've got any and all kinds of setups on that.
Absolutely. You know, and it's, you know, they've got, they're getting their act together on it. The batteries are the main thing.
Right.
Yeah.
It's neat to see some of the batteries they're coming out with now. We're talking about 300 miles.
Yeah.
On the battery setup. So, therefore, you can buy an electric vehicle that has no combustion engine in it.
Right.
And I guess that's some of the area that we can get into after we get through with our sponsorship right here.
Yep, we're going to let you hear from our sponsors, and we'll be back.
I'm a little worried about Fred now. He's been gnawing everything in the cab of this truck, barking and screaming. I think he's turned into a stalk of bananas. Come back. What's your 20? About 16 miles this side of Mississippi.
Whoa, hold it.
I just passed another Kojak with a Kodak.
It's The Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in.
Welcome back to The Car Doctor Show. This is Car Doctor Kevin Raywinkle along with Tom Claxton. If you have any questions, give us a call or send us a text, 343-0106. I think we're hoping to hear from Nick sometime tonight.
Yeah, he might call in. They're still trying to do some catch up work on the Ed's facility over there.
I'm sure the
regular restaurant and all is open, but we'll go back to our battery deal.
Yeah,
where I was going with that is we're accustomed to cells in a battery, and we had back in the day we had dry cells, and then we had wet cells. We had that, and then we had. Cells or had batteries that just had chemicals in them.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So we got a caller on the line. We'll go back to our batteries.
And caller, you with us?
Yeah, I'm with you. This is Mike calling from Irvington.
Okay.
I got a 2011 Nissan Sentra.
Mm-hmm.
And it was my son's car. It's handed down to me, and I've been going over it to get back in good shape. And I wanted to get the transmission fluid flushed and changed. I took it to a mechanic, and he almost talked me out of it. He said, well, you know, the car's got 133,000. Maybe you just shouldn't do it and just leave it running. And that didn't seem right to me. It seems like if the oil is dirty, it should be changed. What do you say?
Is it one of the CVT transmissions, a constant variable transmission, or is it a regular transmission?
That I don't know. It's just a 2011 Nissan Sentra SR.
That's I can't remember which one they put in that one, but it's, you know, if you're not having any problems from your transmission and all you want to do is change the fluid, at most at that kind of mileage, because it should have been done at least by 100,000 miles. If you're not having any kind of issues, because changing the fluid is not going to fix an issue unless it's specific for that issue. But if you want to just generally do it for maintenance, do not let anyone talk you into doing a flush where they're putting a cleaner and an additive to it.
Okay.
You know, have them drain it, change the filter if you can. Some of them you can't. And then just refill with the proper fluid and leave it at that. You know, don't try and flush anything out. Drainage fluid is a good detergent anyway.
It says it's a continuous variable transmission, 6-speed manual.
Yeah. Either a 6-speed manual or the CVT. So
right.
The CVT is actually it's not a conventional transmission. It has, constantly varying gear ratio. So basically it has two pulleys that are changing sizes with a chain that runs between the two.
So a chain or a belt?
Chain, mostly a chain. You know, it's not exactly a chain, not exactly a belt. Okay.
So it's some kind of combination clog setup?
Yeah, and but it's not a cogged belt. I mean, it's not running on a gear.
It
runs off the sides like a V-belt.
Okay, like a V-belt,
in that being the case, make sure whoever does it uses the proper fluid, because, If you just put regular transmission fluid in that, it will not survive.
Yeah. Gotcha.
Are you planning on doing that yourself?
I don't think so. I don't have a lift, and I'm getting crawl underneath cars anymore.
Yeah.
I know that feeling.
I don't blame you. I wouldn't if I didn't have to.
I take mine to Kevin, too.
Yeah.
But I checked the oil in it, and it looked dirty. You know, I knew it was supposed to be a nice red, and it wasn't red at all. And so I was thinking, well, maybe I ought to get it changed and then get everything else taken care of.
And that was the old school deal. Mm-hmm. You know, it was always supposed to be nice, bright red, pretty. That's not always the case anymore. Some of the fluids we use now is actually, it's a dark fluid. And it's not because it's burned. It's just, that's just the way it's made. Or it changes colors pretty quick, and it's not because it's hurt. It's just the way it is. I would look at the manual in the car, see what it says about it. Some of those CVT transmissions, they don't even recommend changing the fluid.
Right.
Yeah. So, look at your owner's manual and see what it says about changing
the fluid. Okay, yeah, because it's not giving me any trouble whatsoever. First year seems a little bit long to second, but, who knows?
Yeah.
All cars shift a little differently.
But. Well, and if it's a CVT, it's really not shifting, but what it does is they've programmed in a feel to it to make it seem like it shifts, because that was one of the main complaints for the CVT transmissions. People just, they're like, well, it just seems like it's slipping all the time. Well,
right. It seems like it just rolls into second gear instead of shifting into second gear.
Sounds like it's lazier.
Right.
Yeah. But it gets down the road just fine. It's not giving me any trouble.
Oh, it's an awesome vehicle. Yeah.
Man, I'll just leave it alone. I didn't pay much for it. It's a hand-me-down from son to dad. So this one rather than downstream.
Ooh, yep. That's a cool. So you're third one down line with it.
That's a cool move. Right. Yeah.
That's all right.
All right, guys. Well, I appreciate it. Thanks for the insight.
All right. Sir. Thanks.
Okay. Bye now.
But that brought up a subject that we'd probably need to cover, and that is that so many of these new transmissions in these cars this day and time, and there's so many different cars with each manufacturer, that you really need to be careful about these fluids, because back in the day, we had two fluids, basically. We, had a forward fluid another fluid that fit the General Motors and everything else. That don't work anymore.
Right.
You've got so many of these imports, and then so many of our American-made cars have import transmissions in them.
Yeah.
So you better go to your owner's manual,
mm-hmm.
or, be specific with somebody that's really taking care of that vehicle, that knows what the hell they're doing. Excuse my French, okay?
Right.
But, you can put one or two quarts of the wrong fluid in there and mess up a whole transmission.
Right.
And they're not $300 like they used to be.
No.
Add a zero. Add a zero and start from there.
Right.
It's $3,000, $4,000 for a dang transmission. Come on.
Right. And there's not many people that I'd let touch a CVT transmission anyway.
No.
Most of the manufacturers don't even let you go into them. They just, if you got one that's failed, you just, get another one put in.
Get another transmission, yeah. They get another transmission from the factory.
Right. A factory man. And there's not saying that it can't be rebuilt, because I've been in them, in class, and they show you how they work, but they don't really, expect you to work on them, other than having to go in and maybe do a modular solenoid or something simple, But, I don't know if it's that's one of those things that if it's working, don't
if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Yeah. If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Right.
So, I don't know. There's,
do we have some
good on the maintenance? We do have, we got, Dave from Gulf Shores here talking about, specs on some of the engine oil
me to death. OW20.
Yeah,
that means when you crank that dude up, it's zero oil.
Right.
So that means it's just a liquid like water.
Right.
But it's slippery. Right.
Slippery water.
It's slippery water.
Yeah. It's thin. I mean, no doubt it's thin, but it's that's what these motors are designed to run on.
But here you go again. Now, when you first crank it up, mm-hmm. you want the oil as thin as you can get it, so that it will go immediately to all of the places that where the oil needs to be for the slipperiness of it, you know, where you're going to have metal touching metal. Because if it was 20 or 30 weight when you cranked it up, like we did in the old days, then it would take a while momentarily for it to get to it, and you might get a dry battery or dry bearing or whatever, dry joint.
Right.
Oh, with the O, there's no stress or no strain on that.
Right.
Plus, you know what it helps with? Gas mileage.
It's all about gas mileage.
Gas mileage. Yeah. What do they call that, cafe?
The cafe ratings.
Cafe ratings.
But, you know, and I don't have a problem with a 0-20. You know, it's as long as the motor's built for it. You're not going to take a, you know, an early 80s or, you know, late mid-70s car and pour 0-20 oil in and expect it to have oil pressure. It's not.
You better put five cans of STP in it if you do.
Yeah, it's just a whole different deal, you know.
Yeah, two cans of Lucas.
Back in the, you know, even our race motor stuff, when we're talking about a, you know, my high compression, you know, high horsepower motors, you know, we're talking 2 to 2.5 thousandths on a main, on a rod bearing.
Right.
And, you know, that's way too loose for that kind of oil, you know. On our crate motor stuff that we're doing, that we're running ultralight oil or running 0-20 and that kind of stuff in it. But
Are you running that in those in those crate motors?
Yeah, we'll run that in.
And y'all running it in a race motor?
Running it.
Well, that's okay in your regular car.
But you're, yeah.
You got that day?
Yeah.
Got that day? It's okay in your regular car.
I mean, I'm running in a crate motor that we have not been into in going on 6 years.
What?
Have not opened that motor up other than put valve springs on it.
What?
So, just
a race motor lasts that long?
Yep.
No wonder machine shops are all out of business.
Exactly.
No wonder, you know, my brother, you know, oh, Lord.
Yep.
You know, by the way, I lost my brother with the machinist, Big John, if anybody out there knows Big John Claxton.
Yep.
Engine builder for 30, 40 years around here in the Mobile area. It was
one of the best engine builders in this town.
He was well known throughout the Southeast as as an engine builder, and I was proud to have him as my brother. And it's my machinist at where we run our shop for 30 years active. And Mr. Cancer took him out and lost him this morning to that. But, so, you know, I'm trying not to even think about it because I'm going to have trouble getting through it if I do. But anyway, Big John's gone, so we'll have to move on. But yeah, 0-20 oil. I can't believe y'all run that crate motor that long now.
Well, you know, and that's the thing is, now we've run another motor off and on in between there, but you know, we have not opened that motor up, you know, other than valve springs, in quite a while. You know, it kind of got put to backup motor status there for a while, but I've been having to run it most of this year.
What about things like timing chain and oil pumps and stuff like that? Y'all hadn't had to go into any of that either?
Hadn't had to touch it. Yeah,
you got to be kidding.
Had to touch it.
How many times you change valve springs?
Two or three? I usually change at least once a year.
Once a year?
Once a year on those because we're not running the GM springs. But, you know, they let us run a
counter. Aftermarket. Okay.
Yeah, so sounds like we got to take a break and let you hear from our sponsors, and we'll be back.
Mm-mm-mm.
Just give me the word, and I'm ready to start. I think we can bring her in for $800. But don't be downhearted. I can fix it for you, sonny.
It's the Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The Doctor is in.
Well, you heard the story of the hot rod race.
Welcome back to the Car Doctor Show. This is Car Doctor Kevin Raywinkle along with Tom Claxton. If you have any questions, give us a call or send us a text, 343-0106. But, we were talking earlier about the electric and hybrid vehicles,
right? Yeah,
you know, their technology with that stuff is just it's coming way faster. You know, we were actually we had a little Nissan, I think it was Leaf, in stock there, and come to find out, I mean, this thing it's
an electric
car,
yeah.
You know, no motor backup whatsoever, a 75-mile range,
huh?
Yeah, so.
That's a little old lady grocery car. That's all that is.
You better not get far out the neighborhood.
75 miles.
Yeah.
Well, you know, the new stuff that they're talking about that I've been reading about is like 300 miles. And they're actually, within 2 years, they already have the development to go to 500 miles.
Right.
But the thing that I thought was very ingenious of the 300-mile one was the fact that in 15 minutes, it'll take 15-minute charge. Now, they didn't say whether that's 110, 220, 330, 440 or what.
Right.
But in 15 minutes charge, it'll give you an extra 100 miles.
Yeah. Yeah.
So now, if we have service stations on along the interstates and are in some of our cities where you can pull in and maybe go in and have a cup of coffee and plug your little car in, you know, let it be charging, you know?
Well, you know, and I was reading about one the other day that they were talking about the serviceability of it and all this kind of stuff. And it's one of the trucks that's supposed to be coming out here for long that's all electric. The battery pack, they're going to have it set up to where you can get a 80% charge in 15 minutes.
What?
So, and it has a 500-mile range.
What?
When it's fully charged.
What?
The horsepower rating is not great, but the torque numbers are out of sight, which the torque is what really does the work anyway.
Well, yeah, they're talking about these things that go to 0 to 60 foot time was like, you know, 2 seconds. Or what. I'm going like, that's a damn drag car.
Oh, I mean.
Drag cars don't run that fast.
The little car I was driving last week, the little Chevrolet
Bolt. Ooh, that was a tinker toy.
It was all electric.
It was.
It's an all electric car.
Could you spin the tires on it?
It's peppy. I'm telling you, it'll run.
If you don't spend the tires, I ain't driving.
It'll definitely spend the tires.
I'll drive it.
I do know that. So it's.
I figured you did. I figured he did. I had to find out.
You know, but it's
he was road tested it. Yeah. Road tested it, Philip.
Well,
you know,
if they want me to talk about it and, you know, with people, then I need to know what it'll do.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
But no, it was very impressive, the power and of course, you know, the ride and everything else on the car is great. You know, it's, you know, quiet.
Right.
Because there's nothing there making noise.
Well, that's right. The noise factor is totally gone.
Yeah.
I mean, I've had people talk about it. I heard people talking about it. It says, well, I checked twice to see if I was moving.
Right.
I closed my eyes and I blinked a couple of times and looked out the side, see if I saw anything moving because I didn't hear anything.
Right.
It was too quiet. Yep. I said, turn the radio up.
Yeah.
Get stereo going, baby.
The one thing that I noticed that was a little strange was, and just takes a little getting used to, is when you're coming to a stop, you know, you put your foot on the brake and you're coming to a comfortable, you know, pace coming to a stop, okay? What you don't realize is happening is they're actually using, and you can watch it on the dash, is regenerating power from the motors. So you're not really using your brakes.
I was going to ask you what kind of brakes did we have or were we going to have that what you were aware of.
Well, and it has conventional brakes, don't get me wrong, but it also has uses electric motors to slow you down, and when it's doing that, it's putting juice back in the battery.
Okay? Oh, okay.
So as you're coming to a stop, it's using the motors to slow you down, so you're coming down to that normal pace. Well, you get down to, you know, 2, 3, 4 mile an hour, and it just feels like the car just quits stopping. You know, it just keeps rolling, and you got to reach over there and give it a little more brake. So, you know, because what's happening is you're really not on the brakes.
You're
using
the motors.
You
know what that sounds to me like? Mm-hmm. And only people that are familiar with trucks would know what I'm talking about. And especially if you've been upside of one of them, that's when they use a Jake brake,
right?
On a tractor, you know, and trailer. And when they they throw that thing on and they hit that Jake brake, which is a semblance of it is a brake, it's a compression. You're using the motor to slow the vehicle down.
Yeah,
you know. Yeah. And I was in by one when he was coming in the tunnel the other day, and he bah. I thought he blew the windows out of my car. You know? I said, oh, man, that's that Jake brake come on. You know?
Right.
You got a caller?
Yeah, it looks like we do have a caller.
All right.
Caller, are you with us?
Yes, I'm with you.
Uh-oh, hey. I recognize that voice, don't you, Kev?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah. So, yeah, tell us something about what's going on at the Eds, and since it didn't really float off. But
oh,
you
I
did
thought
have
the car print. My bad.
You did have high water over there.
Man, Ed is like a ship that gets tested in every storm.
Doesn't it? Unbelievable.
And then after every storm, we have new improvements.
Right. You know, and that's cool. You know, that way you get a chance to change things and improve things.
Yeah, we just changed out wood like an old beautiful boat.
Y'all need to put a bow on it's on the other side of that on the bayside.
Oh my God. You know, we just what's crazy is that the water level that came up on the causeway was just unbelievable. I think I saw a video before the power went out that water underneath our building was up 4.5-5 feet.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and that means that the whole bay and the old causeway was totally covered, saturated.
You know, our little gator that we have downstairs, the 8-foot picture op that we have.
Where did he go? Did he run up to Stockton or what?
He was across the street in the bushes.
Oh, my goodness.
So Pete went and had a crew and went and retrieved it. we found Eddie.
Eddie was just taking him a little sightseeing cruise.
Yeah, but other than that, you know, our crew and the folks that we had come and help us get our stuff back together. We were down about 24 hours,
right?
And then we were back, open for breakfast, and you know, great turnout for the customers supporting us, and we were super stoked about that. And you know, there's a lot of the restaurants that didn't fare so well,
right,
mm-hmm. on the causeway. So you know, we just pray that they'll get back going, which they will.
Well, it's just neat too that the fact that you guys have already opened up your breakfast. 7 days a week there for breakfast now rather than just Saturday and Sunday. So that's awesome.
Yeah, we just breakfast is that fun meal where people tell more lies than lunch.
Watch it.
So
now.
It's always fun to meet people there and have them enjoy it for sure.
Yeah, well, you did an awesome job with it, and I guess all of your other facilities were okay too.
Yeah, Sunset Point we were in pretty good shape. Squid Ink, pretty good, and then Panini Pete's was solid as well. We were just very lucky. A lot of places were not, you know. So I would have never thought that the damage that happened at Ed's would have happened, but
right.
it was pretty rough.
It was all serious high water damage, you know, and the movement of the water. When that water comes in like that, pushed in from the winds of that hurricane, just water itself is very dangerous. But when you get that wind behind it like we had, you know, from 30, 40, 50, 60, 80 to, you know, 90-mile-an-hour winds, that can push some water. You get some waves out of that.
We had a 60-foot tree stuck in between our dumpster and a phone pole, and it had to be underwater 15 years. I think it was old cypress.
Yep.
And you saw it.
Was that right? It was still wet.
50 foot?
Yeah. It wasn't dried out like it'd been exposed. Mm-hmm. It broke loose in the water out there in the bay.
That was crazy, man, to see the power of nature, how it affects things. But you know, hey, we're back to doing what we like to do, make people happy through food and friends.
There you go, buddy. You're doing a good job of it. I keep saying this deal about some kind of deep fried. Is that cornbread or something? What are you deep frying?
Yeah, we do a sweet fried cornbread. We serve that with all of our bowls. And then we serve that as a side that you can get with house-made honey butter. I like to have the fried cornbread with a little bowl of gumbo inside of green beans, and I think they all work really good together.
Oh, yes. Now, that's a meal. But, you know, a lot of people don't realize how y'all make your greens. We're talking about greens. It set me off because very few people realize that you actually are making the greens fresh daily.
We use a mixture of turnips and collards, ham hock, and cook them low and slow, and then the little secret ingredient of a little bit of spicy mustard.
Oh, there you go.
And, you know, I think that greens are, the longer they cook, the better they get.
Right.
That pot liquor in there from that liquid is just the key.
Oh, yeah, it goes with that cornbread, baby. You can make a meal out of that.
Oh, yeah. Sop it up.
Are y'all still open? I'm already getting hungry. I'm getting hungry here. All right, Big Daddy. Appreciate you coming on board. I'm glad you guys are up and running again.
Thanks for checking on us, and we'll be back at it tomorrow again.
All right, big guy. Nick DeMario.
Y'all have a great night. Bye-bye.
All right, buddy. Nick DeMario from Ed's Seafood Shed on the Causeway. Yes.
Yep. It's a lot of people been upset if something happened to Ed's. They couldn't get down there and get some of their good
the
food.
Truth.
No doubt.
Well, they just Ed's has always had good seafood,
mm-hmm.
always good fresh oysters and all, you know, the fresh seafood's there. But Nick is he's a gourmet country cook, you know, whatever you want to call him, gourmet chef. And he experiments with all this stuff, man. I'm like, you know, who would fry, I mean deep fry, cornbread? I'm going like, what?
Well, hang on. We're in the South. We're going to deep fry anything.
Oh, yeah. If it ain't fried, it ain't cooked.
Yeah. If we'll fry ice cream, yeah, we'll fry anything.
Oh, well, yeah. Fry Butterfinger candy bars.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. It can be done, no doubt. But all good stuff, you know. But
it's all good. Yeah. And, you know, they're just good people, and they have an awesome group of waiters and waitresses over there. They really do an outstanding job. And they just make you feel at home, you know?
Yep, absolutely. Sounds like it's time for us to take a break, and we'll let you hear from our sponsors, and we'll be back.
It's The Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in.
And welcome back to The Car Doctor Show. This is Car Doctor Kevin Raywinkle along with Tom Claxton. If you have any questions, give us a call or send us a text, 343-0106. And while we were going to break there, we had a caller call in and wanted to have she had a comment about her brake fluid needing to be changed on her vehicle. You with me? Hello? Caller, you with us?
Hello?
Yes. Yes, you're on there.
Okay. Yes. A few programs ago, I heard you say something about the brake fluid in your car should be changed every 2 years.
Right.
So I looked it up in my owner's manual for my German-made car, and it's a diesel car. And it's been very, very good. It's 15 years old. But anyway, the last time I can find that the brake fluid was changed was in 2011. I hate to even think this. And at that time, the dealer, which was a different one that I'm going to now, said upon inspection found brake fluid very dirty. Well, yeah, I guess.
Right.
But, so then we changed dealerships to have service done, and I asked the gentleman at the service department to check our computer record on the changing of brake fluid since we've been going to them since 2012. He said no, he could not find that the brake fluid had ever been changed. Now, shouldn't one of those items be brought up from time to time by the dealer?
Well,
you'd think they would want the business.
Yeah, and you know, it's it is something that you know, we encourage our employees to do. Would be to look to see what maintenance may be needed on a vehicle. You know, it doesn't happen as regularly as it should. And me being, of course, you know, working in a GM dealer, and also have some background at a BMW dealer as well, the one thing that I'll have to give BMW credit for is the way that they maintain their maintenance program.
Yeah.
It's actually off of the key of the vehicle. You take your key that you use every day and you put it in a reader, and it will actually give you all the history of the vehicle and what maintenances need to be done.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. I used to own one. This particular car that I have now is a Volkswagen Passat.
Right.
Diesel.
Right.
But I cannot believe since 8 years.
Yeah.
They have never had any kind of notification other than come up on the computer or something that the car would tell them to do. It's in the owner's manual. I have it, and I'm going to show it to the gentleman tomorrow.
Right.
Because when I heard you say that, I made an appointment.
Yep. I don't blame you.
It's changed.
Yeah, it
heaven
definitely
only knows what what it's going to look like after 8 years. But there's no problem with the brakes. They work very well.
Right.
So I don't know.
Well, and it's a preventative maintenance thing, okay? I mean, it's not there to fix a problem. It's there to keep it from becoming a problem somewhere down the road. And, yes, it shouldn't be overlooked. And, like I say, we have – and on our end of it, you know, not all of our vehicles require it every 2 years. So, you know, we miss some because of that, because you're not looking for that on every vehicle. Some of them, mm-hmm. they tell you not to worry about it, and some they tell you that you need to worry about it. So, you know, it makes it confusing from my guy's point of view, and I'll take up for them a little bit on that, which they should never miss it. But
I wouldn't take up for them. Don't take up for them.
Yeah.
But you know what? Let me bring something up here. I was just thinking about it, and let's see where we're at with this. Undoubtedly, you don't use this vehicle a whole lot, so it doesn't have a lot of miles on it.
Oh, yes. It has 187,000 miles.
Oh, well, okay.
On
that shot me out of the water there then. But I was just figuring that if it was, you know, a diesel and you're being a lady, you wouldn't probably put as many miles on it as one of us hard-headed guys would with a heavy foot. So,
well, it's 15 years old, though.
Yeah. Well, you know, and it's probably got another 180,000 still in it.
And I hope so. That's why we bought it.
Yeah. But I was just thinking that maybe they didn't mention that at the service department because you wasn't putting a lot of miles on it yearly.
Possibly.
That's what I was thinking, yeah.
Yeah.
But since 2012.
Oh, no. I'm on your page. You're right.
No.
Go in there and raise hell. I mean, say something about it.
Well, you may have saved the life of my vehicle. I just wanted to thank you.
Well, God bless you.
Heads up.
Hey, you know what? Your heads up for
I
listening.
I went and looked in my owner's manual. Sure enough, it says it can be changed every 2 years.
Well, that's exactly why we're here, and we get self-satisfaction out of the fact that we did bring up something that somebody listened to. Mm-hmm. And it may save them a repair on the car. So you've made our day. Thank you.
Right.
Well, thank you for making mine, and I appreciate you very much.
All right. Well, we appreciate your call.
Thank you.
Appreciate you listening.
Yeah.
Thanks. But, and that is, the point of the whole thing. I mean, it's not like we're making money off this.
No, we didn't make a dime off any of that. Don't expect to, but we – you and I have been in the business for 11-7 years, But, and we enjoy being able to utilize some of the things that we learned. I don't know mm-hmm. what you'd call it, knowledge or ignorance or whatever, But anyway, we've both
made enough mistakes that we ought to be able to pass those along.
Right.
We're
trying not to pass the same mistakes on to our listeners out there.
Right.
I'm glad. It just tickled me that lady was, sharp enough to pick that up and hear that, going like, well, I wonder if my car needs, brakes.
Right.
Fluid fixed on it.
And that's what we're trying to do is just pass on a little knowledge. And, that's one thing. After I've been in the business for, it's close to 40 years now. And
I've been there longer than you. We're working on 100.
I know. I'm older than I like to admit sometimes. But
I'm older than I will admit.
Yeah. But, I'm at a point in my career to where I would rather pass information along and make sure that the next generation gets what we're trying to do here. And it's not all about the mighty dollar. It's about taking care of the customers, making sure that we're doing a proper service on their vehicles,
and keeping
them safe.
And that is so neat to see you guys doing that out at UJ as well, in your service department. And I enjoy seeing an organization like that have the computer systems you have where when you go get that VIN number off of that car,
mm-hmm.
I don't even know. I mean, I was in there with a Ford product.
Right.
You know, my Lincoln. And the little lady went out and got my VIN number.
Right.
And entered that in there. And also, the undoubtedly the sophistication of your service system or service program that you have in there in your software would pick up anything that that particular vehicle needs to be done from that mileage, even though that's not a Ford dealership.
Right. I mean, it does. Our system does more on a GM product, but it still, when we went out there and we plugged our little reader into your car, it gave us your VIN number, your mileage, your any codes that may have been in the vehicle.
Oh, really? I didn't even realize they checked that.
Yeah, and it also gives us a menu of the things that may be needed for that car at that mileage.
Oh, okay. So, okay, I didn't realize that's the way she got that information.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because I was over there shooting the breeze with somebody, you know, so I didn't see it. I'm good at running my damn job.
You run your mouth and not paying attention again. I know what you're
mouth,
doing.
I run my mouth not paying attention again.
Yeah, but, you know, it's...
So what else is new?
You know, it's really a neat system. It does well. The only down point, it makes the advisors a little lazy sometimes because... You know, if it's not working, you know, they've totally forgotten how to go out there and get the mileage themselves off of a car or VIN number off of one without having to just, you know, plug that thing in and it spit it out.
Everything's getting that way.
Yeah.
Everything's getting that way.
You know,
how much we got? What do we got? A half a second or less?
Yeah, we got a few.
No, 1 second. All right. It's been a blessing to be here.
But yeah, I want to thank everybody for listening to the Car Doctor Show and, I want to remember our good friend and your brother, John.
Big John.
John. Heck of a guy. Great engine builder that will be missed for sure.
Oh, yeah. And to all of our first responders and all of our veterans out there, God bless all of you. We wouldn't be here without you. And for God's sake, go vote tomorrow. This is one of the most important elections we have ever had in our life.
Yep.
This is what we all as veterans fought for. Sick 'em.
Yep. Vote early, vote often.
Yes. I'm going to get one of them deplorable signs and put on my car because I am a deplorable.